In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember reading some years ago a book that talked about CFU and CFO. I've preached on this from time to time in various settings. I really like the idea. CFU means church for us, and CFO means church for others. And the author's point was that we're supposed to create a CFO, a church for others. We don't exist simply for ourselves here at Holy Trinity. We really exist for the benefit of people who have not yet become Christian. This is why we're a church, so that we can attract them. And sometimes people will say, we've got to get everything perfect at our church before we can invite others to come. Well, if you're waiting for everything to be perfect, forget about it. Nothing will ever be perfect. That's one of the fallacies of people who criticize foreign missions. They go, why should we do foreign missions when there's so much work to do at home? Well, we do foreign missions so that we can do our work at home even better. That's how it all fits together. And I think we all realize that. Nevertheless, Great and Holy Lent is really a time when we kind of get a little bit introspective and we focus a little bit on being a CFU, a church for us. This is, for lack of a better word, our spiritual spring training. This is where we learn to really reflect on where we are as Christians, where our hearts are, where our faith is, how we're practicing the faith, how we're living the faith. We might say this, and it's the perfect question to ask on this Sunday, the Sunday of John of the Ladder. We might ask this: Great Lent is the time for us to ask ourselves, have you and I internalized our faith? Have we really made it part of who we are? And I think that that's the reason that the Church in her wisdom has appointed this fourth Sunday of Lent as the Sunday of John of the Ladder, because that's really the message of his book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, is have you internalized your faith? Now, John of the Ladder is a 6th century figure, and he's really known best for his one book. And, much as we said about Gregory of Palamas a couple of weeks ago, it's fairly remarkable that you would get a Sunday in Great Lent named for you. You must be pretty special. And in fact, his book is special. It continues to be read and studied today, not studied by scholars, but studied by people that want to know how to live their Christianity. And so the epistle and gospel reading were appointed well before this became the Sunday of John of the Ladder. Nevertheless, the punchline of the gospel reading, this kind only can be driven out by prayer and fasting, is perfect if we consider the internalization of our faith. So what are some of the things that John of the Ladder asks us about? So here we are, we sit here together on the fourth Sunday of Great and Holy Lent, and the church is asking you and me, what are you doing about living your faith? What are you doing about having that faith become completely intertwined with the DNA of your spiritual heart? So here are some of the things that John of the Ladder writes about in his book. He begins with, on renunciation of the world. Now, he's writing for monks, but you and I get that too, right? I mean, we all of us have things. We need things. We need cookware and blankets and cars. We need all those things. But even those of us who live in the world, we can ask ourselves, have we become slaves to our objects around us, or do we have them for our own personal use? And just for the benefit of our use, not something that we obsess over. Very early in his book, he writes on blessed and ever-memorable obedience. And make no mistake about it, when he's writing about obedience, as the other church fathers write, it's not simply obedience to God. I mean, obviously, that's the most important thing. But he's really talking obedience to one's spiritual father. If you have a spiritual father, you should be obedient to him. And really, obedience to church authority. It's been, 20 plus years now. I was doing a workshop at a YAL conference, and the subject of obedience came up, and I asked the question, well, what do you think about obedience? And one of the young ladies there, a Greek Orthodox Christian without hesitation said to me, obedience is for dogs. And I said, gosh, I know why we've got some problems in this church. Imagine that. That's what she thought. She was at a young adult conference, but her response to the question about obedience was, obedience is for dogs. The answer is no, obedience is for human beings, Christians like you and me. He writes about repentance, but he entitles his chapter on painstaking and true repentance. True repentance isn't something that happens in the blink of an eye. It's not something we do casually. It is a painstaking process. In one of his chapters, he calls us to remember death. It's entitled On Remembrance of Death, something that I hope and pray that all of us do, at least from time to time, because we should remember that life goes by very, very quickly, and that when this life is over, we will have to give an account for how we've lived it. There's a chapter on freedom from anger and on meekness. And from that, one might infer that anger and meekness are polar opposites, and in fact, they are. They are, right? Because isn't anger and manifesting it, we've talked about this before in sermons, isn't that just a horribly selfish act when I'm angry and I want to share it with everybody? But when we lose that self-obsession, then we become meek. He writes a chapter entitled On Slander and Calumny. Calumny is not a word we use every day, and I suppose later translators might use a different word for it, but calumny is a false accusation of an offense or a malicious misrepresentation of someone's words or actions. And he recognizes how damaging slander is for the monastic community, and of course we all know how damaging slander is for church communities as well. Which brings us to the next chapter on talkativeness and silence. And if all of us think critically about some of the things that might come out of our mouths, we'd probably do better with more silence than talkativeness. There's a chapter on lying. And then one about being brave, but he entitles it this, and I'm sorry this is written in the 6th century, ladies, on unmanly and puerile, meaning immature, cowardice. He views cowardice in the Christian as something unmanly and childish. On the many forms of vainglory, which is a nice word for pride. And then he writes a chapter on mad pride. We can be so full of ourselves that we are borderline mad. He writes about meekness, simplicity, and guilelessness. And those are great qualities for all of us as we consider how we live all of our lives, because meekness, simplicity, and guilelessness means that we deal straightforwardly with people. We don't have to try to connive and manipulate things. We just say, hey, I'm going to talk to your face, tell you something, you tell me back, end of transaction. As if the chapter on talkativeness and silence wasn't enough, there's a whole chapter on holy stillness. And I suppose with the words holy stillness, we can wrap up this very brief summary of what's in the ladder of divine ascent. Now, one of our very faithful parishioners who chose to become Orthodox as an adult frequently asks the question, what's wrong with you people, you Orthodox? Why did I have to wait my whole life to find out about this? Why are you keeping this such a secret? And that's a good question. You know, as I consider churches I have served and visited throughout the country, I think one of the problems is we take that ladder of divine ascent and instead of trying to climb it, we put it down in the ground so it becomes a booby trap and we stumble over that ladder. It trips us up. Because if we would just go down this very brief list of just the excerpts of the table of contents of the ladder of divine ascent, think about how we behave, and not just we at Holy Trinity, but we practicing Orthodox Christians, how do we behave in our parishes? Are we talkative or are we silent? Do we slander? Are we angry or are we meek? Do we remember our own deaths? Do we take pains in our repentance? These are important questions for us. Because when we don't live this way, then we actually become a bit unattractive to people who might encounter us. And if any church is not living this way, perhaps it's a good thing they're keeping themselves a secret. Because imagine walking into a church filled with anger and talkativeness and slander and vainglory. So this is a very, very brief reflection on those of us who are called to be a CFO, a church for others, but at this time of year, for us to be a church for us. A church for us. And really examine where we are, who we are, what we do, and how we do it. Because the truth of the matter is, the better that you and I learn how to be a church for us, the better we will become at being a church for others.